Well, good morning to you. Happy Sabbath. I hope you had a blessed week. Hayward and I were just saying how lovely the picture was with the pews filled with children, because we can remember one time when there was just only Marcus there in the evening. So God has answered our prayers, and we thank him so much for that. And Jacinco, if you can hear me, I hear that you have a lovely voice. So we're going to get you and your wife to do a duet sometimes. You know, some folks look for bold and new ideas to present. But, you know, I take the advice of Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, which states, and this is I'm going to do it in the New King James Version and in the NIV. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. And the NIV puts it a little clearer. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Let us pray. Eternal Father in heaven, we come here today to worship you, to praise you, to thank you for your many blessings, but most of all, to thank you for the salvation that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask now that you would let your Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct me, that the words that I have written, if it is not what I'm supposed to say, that you will give me those words to say. We ask that you would forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings. Help us learn to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message today was inspired by a small book, 85 pages, by Max Lucado. The title of that book is A Heart Like Jesus. In this message, sometimes I would quote verbatim from his book, but at other times I will express what the Holy Spirit has led me to say. I have a question for you. What if one day Jesus were to become you? What if for 24 hours Jesus wakes up in your bed, walks in your shoes, lives in your house, assumes your schedule? Your boss becomes his boss. Your mother becomes his mother. Your pains become his pain. With one exception, nothing about your life changes. Your circumstances don't change. Your health doesn't get any better. Your schedule isn't altered. And your problems aren't solved. Only one thing changes, and that is Jesus lives your life with his heart. His priorities govern your action. His passion drives your decisions. His love directs your behavior. What would you be like? Would your family, your coworkers, and your friends, would they notice any difference? Would your enemies and the less fortunate sense a change in your behavior? Would you still do the plans that you had scheduled for the next 24 hours? With Jesus taking over your heart, would anything really change? God wants us to think and to act like Jesus. As is stated in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Matthew 11 and 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. God's plan for you is nothing short of a heart like Jesus. God loves you just the way you are. But you know what? He loves you so much, he refuses to leave you that way. His love never ceases, and nothing that you do or you don't do will ever change that, because God's love never changes. Even though we may spurn him, we may ignore him, We may reject him. We may despise him. We may disobey him. His love for you will never change. He wants you to be just like his son. He wants you, more than anything else, to have a heart like Jesus. What was Jesus's, and sometimes I don't like to use that past tense because he is living in heaven, a heart like? Here are five attributes I would like to list and expound upon. Jesus' heart was first pure. Second, it was peaceable. Third, it was purposeful. Fourth, it was pleasant. And the most important one is that his heart was spiritual. The heart of Jesus was pure. He was adored by many, but yet he was content to lead a simple life. He was cared for by women, but not one lustful thought came to his mind. He was scorned by his creation, but he was willing to forgive and to show mercy. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Peter describes him in 1 Peter 1 and 19 as the spotless Lamb of God. And then in 2:22 he says, "He who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth." John stated, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there was no sin." 1 John 3 and 5. Second, Jesus' heart is peaceful. How many scenes can you recount where the peace of Jesus was exhibited? I think of the feeding of the 5,000, where the disciples were fretting, "How are we going to feed so many?" Yet Jesus was calm, and he just prayed and thanked God. And how about the storm in which he slept through? And his disciples came to him and said, "Master, Master, do you not care for us that we are drowning?" Jesus could sleep, because he knew his life was in his Father's hand. And the night of his arrest, he did not resist, even though he could have called all of the angels of the heavens to come down and deliver him. When he was abandoned by those with whom he had taught and shared and eaten for 3 long years, he did not rant and rave. He did not criticize them. When the soldiers spat in his face, he was at peace, not guided by revenge or by vengeance. Now in John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Paul in Philippians 4:6 tells us, "Be not anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." Colossians says, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart." The heart of Jesus is purposeful. What does that mean? It means that Jesus refused to be guided by anything except what his high calling was, which was to seek and to save the lost and to correct the wrong image mankind had portrayed of his Father. Because he knew his purpose, he was focused, and nothing could deter him. Every important decision that he made, he came apart from the crowd and sought what was the will of his Father. Because his mission was purposeful, he knew how to say, "My time has not yet come." And that is in John 2 and 4. and also later on to say, "It is finished." John 19 and 30. Many of us go through life aiming at nothing in particular, and we certainly achieve it. We forget that God has a plan for our lives, as it is stated in Jeremiah 29 and 11. He says, "I know the plan." Some version says, "I know the thought that I have for you, saith the Lord. A thought to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope." Each of us is to reflect the character and the heart of Jesus. Fourthly, the heart of Jesus is pleasant. There are very few occasions we can find where Jesus was not pleasant to those whom he came in contact with. It seems that his times when it seems if he was abrupt was to those who should have known better, to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees, to those who outwardly portrayed that they were the children of God. The mothers and the children, oh, how they loved to be in his presence. He could find beauty in his creation, and he sought to draw man's attention to the beauty of the lilies of the field. He sought to have them to have joy as they worshiped and praised him. And he showed them that there are possibilities even in our problems. Now, the crowning attribute of Jesus' heart is that it was spiritual. His thoughts reflected the intimate relationship with his Father. When he stood up to read, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." When he came, it said that he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. Jesus wanted us to know that he and his Father were one. In John 14 and 11, he says, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." Jesus' heart was always led and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. He took his instructions from God and said, "The Son does whatsoever the Father does." The heart of Jesus was indeed spiritual. Now, what about our hearts? They seem so far from Jesus. Let us make this comparison. Jesus' heart was first of all what? Pure. Our hearts, defiled, greedy, envious, self-seeking, selfish. But Paul tells us in Romans, the 13th chapter, the 13th through the 14th verses, he says, "Let us walk properly as in the day, not as in reverie or drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy. But we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for this flesh. For the flesh seeks that which is unholy." And we know that Jesus' heart was pure. Jesus' heart was peaceful. We are a people who are always anxious and hassled about something. If there are no problems, sometimes we just invent them. But we find that Jesus found solitude and peace in knowing that his Father was always with him. And he has given us that assurance that he would never leave us, he'd never forsake us. So our hearts should be peaceful. Jesus' heart was purposeful. We are distracted and self-absorbed. Sometimes we can't even pray for an hour without becoming restless, without having wandering minds, without thinking about our activities. We get diverted from the path that Jesus would have us to go. Jesus' heart was pleasant. You know, we are sometimes cranky, rude, dismissive of other people, snobbish, cold. But these were things that Jesus never possessed. Jesus' heart was spiritual, ours earthbound. We're always seeking to accumulate material gain that will fade away. Always instead of the heavenly things, like the fruit of the Spirit, do we strive for. We should be striving for love, for joy, for peace, for long-suffering, for kindness, for goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As you can see, the distance between our heart and Jesus' heart seems so big. It's a chasm which cannot be crossed, it appears. Oh, but I have good news for you. The good news is we have the heart of Jesus already if we have given our life to Christ. Jesus has already given himself to us because he said, "Abide in me and I will abide in you." Now, this is by invitation only. He wants to make our heart his home. Jesus wants to live in us. He has moved in because we have invited him in. He has, if you use your imagination, unpacked his character, and he's ready to change us into his likeness from one degree to another. 2 Corinthians 3:18. 1 Corinthians 2:16 states, "For whom has known the mind or heart of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind and heart of Christ." That's paraphrased. If we have the mind and heart of Christ, why do we still think so much like the world? If we have the heart of Christ, why do we still treat our brothers and sisters rudely? Why do we gossip about one another? Why do we avoid those who most need to hear and to see the love of Jesus? Why do we become timid when witnessing about what Christ has done for us? Here's a short story that Max used to illustrate this, the answer that's part of the answer. The story now is about a rich lady. Although she was rich, she was frugal. She was one of the first persons in her town to have electricity in her house. The months and months went by, and the meter reader noticed that there was very little electricity being used. One day he decided to knock on her door and ask her, "Is there something wrong with your electricity? Are you using it?" Oh, the lady said very forcibly, "Oh, yes, I'm using it. Every evening when the sun sets, I turn on my lights just long enough to light my candles, and then I turn my lights off." I'm quite sure the meter reader said he was astonished, and he probably said, "What?" Are we sometimes like this rich lady? We are tapped into the power of Jesus, but we don't use it. We have our souls saved, but our hearts are not changed. We are connected, but we are not altered. We trust in Jesus for salvation, but we resist being transformed by the power of his Spirit. Jesus wants to give us a sumptuous meal, yet we settle just for the crumbs. What would happen if we left the lights on and lived in Jesus's light? What change would occur? Just think about it. If we set about the task of abiding in the radiance of Jesus, would we put off the old man of sin, the things like anger and wrath and malice and filthy language and lying, and accept the righteousness of Jesus? Would we not become a new person in Christ who has that love mentioned in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And that says that love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrong. And that's where the Lord convicted me right there. I got to circle that one. Does not delight in evil. Rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. And endures all things. God loves us. And he's willing to give us a heart like Jesus, a heart that is pure, that is peaceable, that is purposeful, that is pleasant, and that is spiritual. How do we have a heart like Jesus? Is there something that big that we have to do? All you have to do is to fix your eyes on him daily, so that by beholding him, we become like him. Don't you want to have a heart like Jesus? Let us pray. Father, those of us who have already invited Jesus into our hearts, let us not limit the worship or the work that he has for us. Let us forever and always be connected to Christ, that his character may shine through us. He who is the source of eternal life and eternal light. We abide in him and he abides in us. And for those who do not know our Lord and Savior, I invite you to give your heart to him just as you are. And he will transform you into what he has created you to be. He already knows your deepest and darkest sins and fears. Jesus is willing to lift those burdens from your heart. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We obey you, Lord. We accept your gifts of grace and salvation for our sins. Father, we thank you that you want to give us a heart like Jesus. We thank you that you not only told us, but you sent your Son to show us how we can have communion with you. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray these things, knowing that you would answer according to your will. Amen.